Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gigax, and I'm here today with Michael Brazemley.
Hi everyone.
And Michael is going to kind of take the lead on this episode because he recently went to our union branch meeting while I was still on vacation at Bryce Canyon National Park. Feel free to check out my Facebook profile for photos of that. It was a fantastic time. But that's not what we're here for. We are here to find out what went down at our union meeting, because a couple of interesting things happened, one of which is that we passed the resolution for a special meeting, which is great, especially considering that we did that over the objection of our executive board. People who are allegedly CLC endorsers who were standing against the special meeting. So we will talk about that. Michael, where do you want to start?
Well, I mean, really, there was nothing happening in the meeting that except mostly normal things.
Okay.
They passed a lot of for fundraising stuff, to stuff money for MDA, and saying how much money they're spending on. They want to do a Cowabunga Bay in August.
Oh, our water park. Sure.
And how they want to spend $29,000 and.
Well, we've got that big entertainment fund. I presume all this stuff passed.
All those things got passed, right, including the MDA. So, I did raise questions on MDA because, you know, it seems like we keep putting MDA for something almost every month.
Okay.
So my question is like, hey, you know, how often are we paying this thing? You know, why are we doing 360 here, 100 here? And then we do the bowling thing. Now it's in a few thousands. And
okay.
Like, why are we spending so much money on this MDA thing and not anything else? And I mean, there's other stuff that's like,
right, but the MDA is the preferred charity
The NALC. Of the NALC. So I understand that. But why is it like almost every other month or whatever it is? So I raised that question. Yeah, so I raised that question, like, why are we doing that for MDA?
Right.
And their response is that we used to have like a monthly, we would spend money and donate stuff to MDA because this is what the NALC does.
Right.
And I'm like, okay. But I also would like to know, why are we spending $1,000 here, $2,000 here, $100 here, $200 here, $300 here? It seems like we're spending just a lot of money on MDA, which is all. It's like we spent more money on MDA than we did on Christmas party last year.
Yeah, well, I guess that's true. So I think it's obviously a fair question because this is our branch's money. And where is it going? I'd be curious to find out how much we're donating to MDA versus other comparably sized branches.
Right.
You know, what are we doing fundraiser-wise as opposed to just giving our dues directly to them? Stuff like that.
Yes, because the way that I see that we're spending so much money on MDA, why isn't MDA sending us any thank you things?
Maybe they are. We wouldn't know.
Well,
or did you ask that?
No, well, I didn't ask that, but I came out thinking that when after the meeting, I'm like, you know, where's all these thank you? Because I know most fundraising companies or whatever, they will say thank you to the people who's donating a lot of money.
Yeah, that's true. Hey, on that note, if you want to donate money to Classes of Mail, feel free to send it to, well,
no,
it's
no,
a different email, and nah, never
no,
mind.
No. We're not looking for any donations.
No, we are not. No,
we're not looking for any donations. So anyway, that's what that was. That was one of the things that brought up.
Right. But if you do come to Vegas, you can take us out to dinner, which people did, the folks who came from Oklahoma. And
it's okay. If you ask us to come to dinner, we can split it half and half.
Yeah, that's probably true. Look at that. Michael showing integrity. My love can be bought. Michael's is not for sale. All right. So that was the raising money. Now, let me ask you this. In the previous meetings, we have now seen that the treasurer is putting up warrants to get the approval of the branch for expenditures. Did that happen again at this meeting?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good.
So the warrants came up again.
Nice. And everything on that seemed like it was on the up and up?
Yeah, everything looked all right.
Okay, good. Yeah. All right, look at this, dude. Making progress.
Yeah. So, and then they also... I'm reading this.
It's
hard to put my mouth there and read at the same time.
Can you maybe put the paper over, like, over
why
here?
Why is it coming out bad?
It's not as audible.
So, you know, just things like they also talked about food drive.
Okay. Yeah.
Which they thank people for doing the food drive.
Yeah, of course. And, as they should.
And they did the warrant, obviously. But they also mentioned who was number one.
Okay.
My station.
Ah, good Crossroads job, Michael. That's
was
awesome.
Number one. We had 27,220 pounds of worth of food.
Dude, and you guys had bags, right?
Yeah, we had bags.
To me, the bags made all the difference this year. It was a huge boost to get those bags.
So, which was great, it was because a lot of the, all the stations were getting money from our hall for picnics or barbecues or after the food drive or whatever.
I love that we do and, the feast,
So they were handing out warrants for that.
Okay.
And there was nothing from Crossroads. Do you know why?
I don't.
Because we had so many donations for even our picnic that we didn't have to get money from our branch.
Oh, look at that. Good job, Michael. So we had, that's killer.
We were number one, your and station we didn't have to spend the money from the branch.
That's great, man. Yeah, so, that's so cool.
So my station did a great job.
Yeah, good job on the food drive.
So, but I also want to thank everybody who did the food drive nationwide.
Right.
You know, because I know that's a lot of work. That is extra stuff that we do to help out the food drive, not just the MDA, right? This is food drive. And that's for people taking the extra effort to, you know, to bring the food back.
For me, that's one of my favorite days of the year to deliver the mail. I find it extremely satisfying to pick up food from all these places. And this year I wound up being out on a camping trip on food drive. It's just the way it worked out. And so I wasn't able to participate. And I got to tell you, one of the things that I find really frustrating is to come back to my route the following day on Monday and see bags of food laid out. And they're like, yeah, nobody picked it up. What are you guys doing out there? Come on. I mean, listeners to Classes of Mail, I'm sure you're better than that. But come on, guys. Pick up that food.
Mm-hmm.
So pick it up the next day. No big deal.
Yeah. So, well, food drive is on Saturday. And, and what I do is I'll go and get the food throughout the day. And and then at the end of the day, I'll drive my whole route again to see if there's any more food.
Yeah. I do the same thing.
And and then on Monday... Mm-hmm. And I'll see some more food. And I actually had a customer come up to me and said, hey, are you still collecting food stuff for food drive? I'm like, yes, I am.
He absolutely.
Goes, can you come up by the garage and I'll give you a bunch of bags? I was like, sure. I came out, he gave me like 6 bags worth of stuff.
Dude, that's great.
You know, and that's then I took it back, you know?
Right.
And so, you know, the food drive still continues even after that, you know?
Right. Yeah, but absolutely.
But we have to use the effort, you know? If you're a runner and you're trying to worry about times, in reality, the postmaster that you're dealing with is supposed to help out on the food drive as our
Be a little more lenient on overtime.
Exactly. So this is supposed to be both the post office and anything else combined doing this stuff.
Right. Luckily, at my station, we don't have issues like that. Mm-hmm. I can't think of the last time that we had that issue. They've always been really cooperative. If you need time, you need help, no big deal.
Right. So we didn't have a problem. We actually had the supervisors involved. We had our carriers involved.
Okay.
I actually had the bags and the posters and everything out like 2 weeks before.
Oh, that's great.
Not just the week before, but 2 weeks. Actually, I'm sorry. The signs, I put that up on the CBUs.
Oh, in the cluster boxes, yep.
About a month before.
That's awesome, man.
The bags on the week of, and then a month before I put the posters up.
Very nice. And okay.
I got a lot of food. My truck was full.
That's great, man. Yeah. All right, let's get back to the meeting.
Yeah, so anyway, just wanted to say thank you for was involved in the food drive.
Yeah, it is a great thing that we do. Again, it's one of my favorite days of the year.
All right, and then so as the meeting went on, then we came to good of the order, and that's when...
you can get up and talk about whatever. We talked about
the special convention.
Okay, cool. And credit to the presenter of the special meeting, of the motion, our buddy Trevor, who has been referenced on this podcast before. Trevor decided to take it upon himself to do this special announcement or do the motion for the special meeting. And there was discussion about who would bring it up. You know, Michael is the bravest among us, the one who's most willing to kind of stick his neck out and do things. But the problem is Michael is very clearly seen as the opposition candidate to our current branch leadership. And so right away, if Michael stands up and makes a motion, it's going to feel like there's opposition already. And so the nice thing about Trevor is that he's kind of middle of the road. He's friendly with our union leadership. He's also friendly with us. And so with him presenting it, he could get support from both sides of the aisle without people feeling like they're going against their own interest. And that's exactly how it worked out. People who normally support the executive board wound up voting for the... Well, I don't want to skip ahead too much. I don't want to steal. It's your story because you were there.
So the people that voted against the special meeting They were using the excuse, hey, it's only a couple of months away from the general convention.
Right.
And, you know, so it'd be a waste of money. It's going to cost like $1 million to do it. And so that's going to be a lot of money that's going to be used by the NALC. It's and this is just a political matter, and it has nothing to do with anything else. I mean, there were so many excuses that they were using that saying it's not a good good thing to do.
Right.
But then the people that were for, you know, obviously for is, hey, we know we want our voice to be heard.
Right.
And my main thing that I mentioned is because Brian Renfro changed our agreement from November to May.
Right.
And if I remember correctly, he has 90 days to start the negotiations, which so to me it could be February.
Right.
And which means he would have 6 months to fuck up our next contract.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay? And when you listen to Lou Drass's drastic measures, mm-hmm. that's something that he argued as well, is like, well, you know, the process will have only been going on for a few months, and so we'll have plenty of time to have our input heard. But to me, you've already been doing this for 6 months. A, I'd like to think that maybe we actually get the contract done in a timely manner. You know, I'm not just going to count
but
on...
But I don't trust him to do it in a timely manner.
No, I don't trust him for any part of it.
Yeah, if he does it in a timely manner, you know something is messed up.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah. And so there's multiple reasons why... I mean, obviously, we're on the opposite side of the folks on the executive board. And we have our reasons, and our listeners are already pretty familiar with these reasons. So yeah, they said...
The main thing is that we wanted to vote so that we can tell the executive board of a national...
Right.
What we want.
To tell
Renfro,
essentially.
That's the main
goal. Right.
Okay? And we're going to vote on what we want for him to argue for the next contract.
Right. To set our bargaining priorities.
Exactly.
And presumably to put some guardrails on what he can do unilaterally as president.
So the special convention is so that when people show up to the special convention, it'll be the delegates who show up. So the people who show up to the special convention is the amount of votes you'll get to vote for what we want in the next contract.
Right.
Okay? And that's what we want, is that we want the people, our voice to be heard on what we want on the next contract.
Right.
We don't want just the Brian Renfro's version. Okay. And but anyway, at our branch, we put the motion in to have our president write a letter to Brian Renfro that we want a special meeting.
Right. And people are making these arguments. And it's worth knowing, give a little background here, because I have talked with Stephanie LaGreca and Jenna Morin. They've been guests on the show. And Stephanie LaGreca called me one day, and she's like, hey, I just got off the phone with your branch president, because she's calling around
the country. Go ahead.
Oh, this comes up.
Yeah, this comes
up. Okay, all right, great.
So when they were fighting against about this special committee, our president goes, how rude are they to not contact me to do this special committee in Las Vegas? They're so rude.
Right, because it's going to be in Vegas, presumably. Yeah.
And my reply is, that's funny, because she called you and you said that you hung up the phone on her. And everybody heard that.
Right. Yeah, yeah, he was definitely contacted. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and was not receptive.
Right, and then her answer was that he was very rude.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, good times.
Yeah,
good
so times. Obviously he didn't want the special convention, and but we do. As active carriers, we want it.
Right. So you have this situation where the rank and file carriers, the people who actually put the mail in a box, are out in the audience arguing for this. And then our executive board, who are largely retirees, or if they're not, they're people who are not carrying the mail anymore, arguing against it. Were there people in the audience, were there actual carriers who stood up to argue against the special meeting?
No, only the...
Only the executive board.
The establishment.
Right. The good old boys.
The good old boy club.
Yeah, including the goodest, oldest boy stood up to argue. Do you remember specifically what his argument was?
Yeah, his argument is that it's going to cost us $1 million. It's only a couple months away from the general convention.
Right.
This is only political thing that is being
because
used
people
for.
Don't like Renfro.
That was pretty much what it came from out of his mouth.
Right. But even he said that he wasn't happy with Renfro.
Right. He did say... That what Renfro did for our contract he did not like.
Right. Yeah. It's interesting. I was talking to Fred Woodley about this earlier today, how it has become totally politically safe to say that you don't like Brian Renfro.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I can't think of another time when it was okay to
That's coming from our establishment.
Yeah, and that's coming from the good old boys. Uh-huh. Right, exactly. So, yeah.
And so I think Brian Renfro is cooked.
I think so, too. Yeah. Dude, he might come in third place in the election.
Yeah.
Which would be... That'd be really something. Mm-hmm. If he even runs.
If he runs.
Right. Yeah. So, okay.
That's
so
if we the have, other person doesn't team up.
Yeah, I know. You and Fred actually see eye to eye on that. So mm-hmm. Fred is like a prophet in what's going to happen in the union, what's happening in our branch. And Michael has a lot of the same prophetic ability. But that's a topic for another time. So I want to touch on, though, this argument that it's going to cost $1 million. Honestly, it'll probably cost more than that because mm-hmm. you got to fly all these people in and rent the space.
Not from the actual NALC National.
Okay.
Because all National has to do is bring the team, the
their e-board, own national officers,
okay?
Right.
And that's not going to cost $1 million, okay? What's going to cost the most is each branch spending their funds to come.
Yeah, that's true.
Because they had to spend the airline
renting the convention space. And, yeah. That's fair. But... You know, I've heard this mentioned on other podcasts. We have a war chest. We have this tremendous amount of money that we're sitting on. This is what it's for.
Yes.
So that we can make sure that our union is active in the most effective way possible.
Yeah. I have not checked the financial records for our national. I don't know how much extra money that we got.
I seem to remember that it was in the hundreds of millions.
Yeah, I know we got quite a bit of money. Yeah. But that's the reason why we are one of the most powerful unions out there, because right. we have the money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And again, if we're not going to spend it on making sure that our bargaining is done correctly, what else is there worth spending on?
Right.
Yep. Okay. So that was the... Oh, so then now everybody's made their argument,
mm-hmm.
and now it's time to vote.
Well, so not time to vote is vote, and everybody yay or nay.
Right.
And yay was overwhelmingly loud, right?
Okay.
They're like, oh, no, I think it was pretty even. Let's do a division.
Okay? Right.
And so they did the division... And yep. the only one...
This is, of course, our president calling the vote.
Yeah.
And he's so too close to call. Yeah.
When everybody, you know, it was a yay and not nay.
Right.
Okay. So he calls for division. That tells you where he's at.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. And so when we, as for division, and guess what? It was so funny in that almost 90% of the people stood up for yay.
Oh, in the audience.
In the audience.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, the people who actually
And there were people who was not voting that did not stand up.
Yeah.
Yay or nay.
Okay. Right.
And then the people that actually stood up for nay were pretty much the e-board.
Right.
Okay.
Dude.
And so that was too easy to count.
So this is another example of our executive board and our own branch mm-hmm. being at odds with the people who put the mail in the box.
Yep.
And once again... The people who put the mail in the box, they're voting the same way you and I are voting. You know, mm-hmm. we're with them and we're against the executive board, or the executive board rather is against the rank and file carrier.
Mm-hmm.
And once again, the rank and file carrier is winning out and winning these votes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to see that activism and reform mm-hmm. really actually taking hold in our branch.
Mm, there is one more thing that,
please.
I believe our good old boy, oldest boy that you call,
yes,
said that we brought up the motion or ratification about 13 minutes of office time.
Oh, right. Yeah, because the goodest oldest, I heard this from Trevor,
that
the goodest oldest boy said, well, you know, all the things in the contract were voted on and approved at previous conventions.
Right.
And then Trevor said, well, I don't recall voting on losing 13 minutes of office time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And I agree with the same thing. I was at the convention. They didn't say that.
You were
at the convention.
Right.
They didn't say that either.
No, they sure didn't.
Okay. Let's say they said that at the convention previously in Chicago and not Boston. They didn't say that in Chicago either.
Well, this is one of the problems that we have with the process in general, and that I have with the NALC in general, mm-hmm. is the opacity, that you can't see where are these resolutions. You know, mm-hmm. what about all the resolutions that we've made in the past? How come this stuff is not readily available? And it's very frustrating.
Yeah, these things that we are passing yay or nay during our national convention, it should be something that we can log on the NALC app or wherever, click on it to see what the resolution that was approved and what was not approved. We should be able to see it, and we can't see any of it.
Yeah, And I don't know where to find, you know, like with these charges that were brought against Renfro and Barner, one of the things is that they didn't put in their reports these official acts of like withdrawing the proposal for the national agreement. Where, aside from maybe something that was printed in our booklet at the convention, where is this found?
Right.
That's it. You know, there's nowhere to log on and actually see these things. And that's, it's such a low bridge or low hurdle to cross to put that stuff online to make it accessible that really the only reason not to do it is because they don't want to do it.
Right.
And that's ridiculous.
But either way, our branch voted to send a letter to Brian Renfro.
Yep.
Now, this is just a letter. Okay. Because we still have to reach a certain percentage of all branches.
Yeah, of course.
And we don't know if we're going to reach that yet. Because remember, time is running out because this is supposed to be done in September.
Yep.
Right now, we're in June. We only got 3 months left.
Right.
I don't know what percent. We have to talk to maybe Stephanie or
Yeah, so Trevor got Jenna. An email from Stephanie and Jenna. So this is from Stephanie LaGreca. And she writes, quote, where is it? We are on pace so far. It falls on when the branches have meetings, so Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of each week. It's hard because we had underestimated how long it would take to gather info. We also never expected retirees and NBAs to actively work against this. The things that are happening and pushback from National show me we will hit the numbers. So,
oh, very nice.
Yeah. I mean, it's obviously not guaranteed.
Right.
But you see every day on Facebook, they're posting, this branch approved it, this branch approved it, this branch. And most of these branches are approving it unanimously.
Right.
Unlike our branch, where the executive board, alleged CLC supporters, stood against it.
So, where our president said that, hey, you know, they didn't talk to us, we're going to be involved. No, we have to be involved in this special committee.
I mean, presumably, if it's in Vegas, we're going to be asked to do work.
Right. We're going to be asked, but we don't have to. Okay?
Sure. Nobody who doesn't want to be involved has to be.
Right.
Right.
And so I think even if he doesn't do it, then I'll volunteer to help them out too.
I want to be involved.
Yeah.
I'm happy to volunteer.
Here's the thing is, that's going to be expensive for our branch to spend on this and all that, whatever that may be.
Yeah.
But you know what? We don't have to get hotels or anything like that. We don't have to spend money on airlines, on like other branches.
That is correct.
It'll be the cheapest for us than anybody else if it's in Vegas.
Right. Right.
Okay?
That's exactly right.
If it's in Atlantic City, it means most likely then it's going to be a certain amount of people can go and it'll be voted on.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so, but right now, if it's in Vegas, it'll be cheapest for us.
Okay, so that's the special meeting. Mm-hmm. Again, good job, Branch 2502.
Yep.
Good job standing up to the good old boys.
Yep.
What else noteworthy?
Well, next noteworthy thing is that I brought up I had an NLRB charge against a supervisor who was very abusive and was kicked out of multiple stations here in Las Vegas, ended up in my station, because you know how they do. They keep moving them.
Of course.
And this supervisor ended up being in my station. And while she was here, I think I probably filed around 300 grievances.
Okay.
And,
good job, Michael.
And lots of them were joint statement of violence.
Right.
Okay. And so when she, this was disciplining these carriers for nothing. I mean, there was for nothing. And she filed 7 discipline on these carriers while they were harassing them and then lying that they signed the document of the letter warnings.
Right.
And was hiding them, saying that they refused to sign.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And so she was pulling all these stupid games, including not giving them wine garden rights during a investigative interview.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So hence the labor charges.
Hence the labor charges.
Right.
Okay. So I had 7 charges against this lady.
Okay.
A week later, she was kicked out of my station.
Well, so, that's something.
So either it would be because of my charges, it could be some other thing.
Sure.
But she was kicked out of my station.
Supervisors do move around from fairly regularly.
But she has not returned since.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
Well, I got an email yesterday in the afternoon from NLRB that it was withdrawn.
Your 7 charges.
My 7 charges were withdrawn.
Michael, why did you withdraw these charges?
I didn't.
Okay, go on.
In fact, I told NLRB called me a couple of months ago. They told me they wanted to withdraw it, and I absolutely refused, saying I don't withdraw anything that has joint statement of violence.
Yeah, sure, of course.
And so I said, I'm not withdrawing that.
That's how we protect our carriers.
Exactly.
Okay. Yep.
And so I did not withdraw. They somehow they combined those charges into one charge.
Okay.
And then they called a halt and got a hold of our treasurer.
Okay.
And he withdrew the grievance or withdrew the labor charge.
Is this what the NLRB told you?
This is the letter that I got from NLRB.
Oh, it says his name. Who withdrew the charges.
Yes.
Wow.
Okay. So I brought that up at the hall and he goes, no, that was for another supervisor.
Uh-huh.
And I go, the letter actually has my station's name on it.
Right. And his name as the withdrawing party.
Sheriff Perez Lopez is another station.
Wow.
So either you withdrew the and not knowing the, what you're withdrawing and made a mistake because it has my station's name on it.
Or they just saw the name Michael Brazenly on it and decided to throw it out because
of Michael, my name.
Because of your name.
But but it doesn't matter. It's for me. It's for the carriers.
Of course. Dude, and that's this whole mentality of, you know, with gatekeeping, that's something Fred and I talked about on our last episodes, is the people who wind up losing in all of this are the carriers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to step up, you want to fight for them, and then to get pushback from your own union, it's the carriers who lose in the end.
So anyway, when I had to talk to the NLRB when they called me to withdraw it, and the NLRB lawyer, when I talked to them, and this is what I told them.
Okay.
I said, How many labor charges are coming from against the Postal Service? And she's like, well, I can't really disclose it. I'm like, you know what? I'll tell you. Lots.
Yeah, yeah. Whatever that number is, it's a big
number. It's a lot.
Right.
I know for a fact there's a lot of charges against the Postal Service with all these labor charges. And how many of those have you guys resolved? Well, we did resolve a couple of them here. Again, on those hundreds of charges, you only resolved a couple.
Right.
Okay. That is a bad number.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Okay.
And so this is what I told them.
What happens to the rest of them?
This is right after Doge went in and cut NLRB, the one who's in charge of NLRB, and replacing them, whatever it is. This is pretty much like a week or two after.
Right. They gutted a lot of Department of Labor.
And so this is what I told the NLRB lawyer. I said, look, you know, you're talking about fraud, waste, and abuse with Elon Musk cutting things. When you guys are not showing me that you're doing your job, looks like maybe he is doing his job to cut this rug. Okay?
Yeah,
you have to show me proof that you're doing your job.
Right. It goes back to those emails like, what did you do this week?
Uh-huh.
Well, I didn't prosecute labor violations.
I'm like,
yeah, I hear you.
I said the postal carriers are asking for help. Not just the postal carriers, but postal employees
are
asking help from you guys, and you guys keep withdrawing every single one.
Right.
Maybe one or two you're not, except maybe those are the major ones.
Right.
But you guys are allowing postals to go on and on and on. That's why this is what's happening.
Right.
And so I guess I pissed off that lawyer or whatever, decided to contact the hall instead, and our treasurer withdrew
the charge.
The charge.
Yep. Awesome.
Okay. Yep. So anyway, I have another one.
Okay. All right. Another item from the meeting.
Yes. Another item from the meeting.
Okay. Okay.
I'm the one who brought up all the problems.
Yeah, sure.
Everybody else was trying to pass the money and all that stuff.
Right.
Okay. So I brought up and then I said, hey, so I'm being told by my stewards that you guys don't have to do contentions anymore.
Okay.
So what is going on?
Now, elaborate on that. Okay. What do you mean?
So contentions is for stewards to write up a argument against management on how to argue whatever the incident may be, whatever the grievance may be.
Right. This is our argument.
This is our argument.
Okay. And are you talking about at the informal A level?
This
very
is the informal A level with the shop steward.
The steward who initiates the grievance.
Yes.
Okay.
The steward gets to talk to the letter carrier. Steward gets to talk to the supervisor, get all the information, has the most knowledge on this matter.
Right.
Who should know how to argue better than anybody else?
Of course, because it's their grievance.
Exactly.
They know the incident that it started the whole thing.
So the contention is that once they formed up all the statements, information, and all that stuff put together, and then writing up a argument to talk to the supervisor for the informal A meeting.
Okay.
Okay. And so that you'll be ready when they bring up the questions because you're going to have all the answers with you.
Right.
And that's what a contention is.
So in theory, you can go, because it is informal, you can go to the supervisor and just have a discussion verbally about, you know, what the grievance is, but that's bad policy.
Right.
Because you really want to be prepared. You want to make sure you have your arguments there so that you don't forget anything. You want to make sure you have all your ducks in a row. And then, most importantly, if that grievance is not settled and it goes up to the next level, whoever's arguing it at Formal A needs to know what this grievance is all about.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? And so they're like, oh, our vice president says, oh, yeah, I told them to not do contentions because talking to the supervisor during Informal A is only verbal. I go, the arguments you create with the contentions is you're supposed to be prepared to talk to your supervisor.
Right.
That's what it's for. Not because it's just the verbal, so you don't have to write up contentions.
Right.
So anyway, so that was the matter. And I said, but here's the thing.
Goes up,
I told him, I said, but here's the thing. I don't blame them. I blame you because you're telling them to not do the contentions.
Right, right.
But I'm not done.
Okay.
Is what I told her. The problem is now the Formal A doesn't do contentions. Okay? Didn't you just say that Formal A is supposed to get it ready,
yeah,
and talk?
Right,
and
of course.
No. Formal A is also told to not do contentions until after they talk to labor for the Formal A rep.
Right.
After they talk to them, when they disagree and want to send it up, is only when they want to send the contentions.
Interesting.
What's the problem with that?
Well, I mean, the people at the next level have no idea what the argument is.
Right.
And
so if you're not prepared,
right,
to argue, because the contention is basically you're creating arguments, right?
Right.
So you can see the article they're violating, statements that you got from carriers, that you're reading contentions possibly from the informal A,
right,
from the steward.
You're making your arguments.
Interviews and so forth. That you're preparing yourself. So you read all of that. That's how you write up the contentions for the argument with the whoever is doing the formal A. But if you don't have any of that, how are you going to argue?
It makes it a lot harder, that's for sure.
Don't get me wrong. If you're smart and you're very well educated
and
you have a memory like crazy and you can do all that, sure. But here's the thing. If you're able to do that, we wouldn't be carrying mail or be stewards. We'd be like lawyers or something.
Yeah, we'd be shithouse lawyers.
Uh-huh. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
So we got to be prepared to go talk to management. What happens when you go prepare and management is not prepared?
Then we walk all over them.
And what does management do?
Tell me.
They want to send it up because they're not prepared.
Right, right, right.
Right? Because you're prepared, they're not.
Right.
So their excuse is, let's send it up.
Right.
So what should you do when they say you want to send it up?
I would argue that they didn't make any contentions, that they had no defense. But
okay.
What else?
Well, management, what we should do.
Right.
Is we need to send that formal A meeting and the grievance because we have it already prepared now, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
To be sent to Step B immediately.
Okay.
Right?
To Step B, not to Formal A?
No, we're at Formal A.
Oh, I see. I got you. Yeah. I missed that part. I'm sorry.
We're at Formal A because they're only doing verbal.
Okay.
And if you do verbal, but if you do your contention, you're ready and do the verbal with the Formal A part.
Right.
And if you're ready and they're not, most of the time they're going to just say is send it up.
Okay, I got you. Yeah.
And what should you do when they say send it up?
Tell me.
Send it up immediately.
Oh, sure. So
because
they don't
they're not
have
ready.
Time. Yeah, right. Exactly. We caught them with their pants down.
We caught them with the pants down. Send it up immediately.
Now it's time to act. Yeah,
but you know what's going on at our ranch right now?
Tell me.
Oh, because it's verbal on both sides. So if management is not ready and our union is not ready, and they want to send it up, they both have time to work on the contention before they send it up.
And this is
why would you give
into
management more time to do stuff?
Right, right. Yeah, exactly. Want to keep the pressure on management. And this is how you wind up in situations where you're doing horse trading or where you're just settling with pro forma decisions that, oh, this is a letter of warning, let's just knock it down to 6 months, and you don't even look at the merits of the case.
Right.
And that's part of the problem.
And so they're arguing, saying that, oh, you know, the verbal. Okay, so I'm going to tell you verbal.
Okay.
Yeah, verbal is allowed. And this is only allowed when it's in favor of the carrier.
Okay.
So when you go to the labor or informal A or formal A rep and say, hey, man, you know, this grievance that I got, this was like uneducated discipline or whatever it may be.
There's some defective
part of it. You know, and so this is no good. Let's get this thrown out right now. And they go, you're right. And let's get thrown out. So you fill out the 8190 real quick, have them sign it immediately.
Once
and you're
that's
done.
Signed, you're golden.
Okay.
Who cares what the arguments are at that point?
When they agree to get your discipline thrown out, get that signed immediately.
Right. Yeah, because the arguments are kind of irrelevant at that point. As long as you're getting exactly what you want.
As long as you get signed to get rid of, who cares?
Right. Yeah.
Then you don't even have to write a contention.
Right,
because,
right.
because that's in our favor.
Right.
Okay. But when you agree to something like a tenants discipline where you don't write up any contentions and then you agree to with management because all you saw was a 3972 that the carrier called in the last 4 or 5 months, five times. So this carrier deserves 3 months of letter warning.
Okay.
It's not right.
So to get us back on track here, this is an argument that was happening at the meeting.
At the meeting.
Right. Where you're saying, yes, stewards should be
writing contentions.
Mm-hmm. And yeah.
And they're arguing back saying that, no, it can be verbal. Okay.
Right.
So that was the issue that was brought up.
Okay.
My steward decided to be stupid and tells me. I'm going to say that flat out on this. Decide to be stupid.
We got a regular
because she told me I'm stupid.
We got a regular Corey Walton over here.
Yeah. She told me because our hall said that I don't have to write contentions anymore. So you need to stop telling everybody that I need to write contentions. And my answer is that I will always tell people because you're a steward that you need to protect them.
Right. Yeah, of course. You want to
that is your job.
And that's something that you hear on other postal podcasts that focus more on steward training is even at the informal level, you want to have as complete a case file as you possibly can, because if it goes up, it makes things easier at every subsequent step.
See, this is where I go. I'm being a little bit of Corey Walden here. When I see even the new stewards are saying most dumbest fucking thing ever, because Hall says that I don't have to do this.
Sure.
Hall says that I don't have to protect the letter carrier. That's basically what you're saying when you say you're not writing contentions. Okay? I don't have to protect the letter carrier because I'm just following what the Hall says. The Hall is the one who knows all the rules. So I need to follow what they are. So if they are wrong and you still follow their thing, then you're in the wrong completely. Right? Because at that point, as a steward, what are you supposed to do?
Protect your carrier.
Protect your carriers. Yeah. And if somebody's bringing up the Hall is wrong, then what should you do?
I'll refer to the JCAM, the M41.
Call the business agents and find out.
Oh, sure.
Too.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
So you got to do your diligence and find out what to do.
Because
you got to do what you're supposed to do to protect the letter carrier.
Right.
Not because somebody said it.
Okay.
Which includes me.
Right, of course. Okay. Yeah, don't take our word for stuff.
Don't just
either.
Take my word for it.
Right.
You know, I could be wrong too. I'm not going to say that. I know all the rules.
Right.
I could be wrong too.
There you go. Okay.
So don't just listen to me. So, but if you want to listen to the Hall and you want to listen to me and we're both opposites, then do your research.
Yeah, right. That's reasonable. Mm-hmm. And there's no downside to being prepared, or at least you wouldn't think there is.
Yeah, but right now, the Hall is telling them to only send it up. Without any research. Because what happens when you don't have the right arguments?
You lose the grievance.
The steward's going to get completely freaking lazy and not do shit, and they're just going to send things off.
Right.
Because what do you think is going to happen with no contentions? Well, they don't know how to argue. Because they haven't done the research, right?
It's a skill. It's like a muscle that you have to build.
If you write up the arguments beforehand, you know how to argue a lot better.
Right.
Right? So if you're not prepared, you're not going to be prepared to talk to the management.
All right. I got you.
And it's not fair for the carrier.
Right. Ultimately, it's a disservice to the carrier. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, that's what I brought up, and that's what happened. I'm not saying my steward is stupid or anything like that, okay?
Right.
I'm just out of anger that the word came out to not protect the carrier.
Absolutely.
This steward is actually smart, and she knows what she's doing it, but just taking the wrong words and just taking what other people are saying. But not listening to some other people, only in one side of the board.
Okay.
And that's where the problem is.
All right, consider that topic covered. Does that pretty much do it for the meeting?
For the meeting, yes.
Okay. All right, cool. So we got that out of the way. Yeah. Just to circle back here, big victory for the rank and file carriers who overruled the executive board at our branch, and we're doing that special convention. We passed our resolution. Guys, if your branch hasn't done it yet, get on it. And I'll tell you, I was talking to Trevor in advance, like, hey, you know, let's come up with arguments. Let's make sure that this is going to be presented well. And I just gave Trevor's phone number to Jenna and
Stephanie,
and they got a hold of him and totally coached him up. And that's the move, right? Because now those two have heard the arguments from all around the country. They know this issue inside and out. Mm-hmm. And if you need support, that's what they're here for. They want to give you that support because, like all of us, they want this thing passed.
This whole thing is to support all of our letter carriers.
Right.
This is so that we get our voices heard.
Exactly.
That's what a special committee is for, because Brian Renfro, as you can see, does not want to hear anything that we have to say and does not want what everything that we want. Because, you know, when we voted for the tentative agreement, we voted no.
And, right. and we got it anyway.
And then we got it anyway. That's basically saying he gave us the middle finger, said, we don't care about you.
Yeah, pretty much.
I don't care about you. Because last I heard, he was the only one negotiating.
That's the way I heard
without anybody else.
Yep.
That means he's the one who gave us everybody, including the Ybor, the finger.
Yep. And that's why we're going to vote that motherfucker out.
We need change.
Yes, we do.
We need change.
Yes, we do.
Because this is getting ridiculous. Yeah. Because how do you take 13 minutes of office time out?
Well, according to him, that only applies during route inspections. It's not an everyday thing.
And you know, how does still and management, you know, is going to take full advantage of that.
I know.
Just like, just like a 22-minute loading time.
Yeah, it's been covered.
Where did that come from?
From another memo or whatever.
No, that came from Tyrap.
Oh, yeah.
That was an average time they did nationwide, including rural areas.
Right.
Do you think the rural areas get lots of mail?
I don't know.
I know. You know, some say some carriers are going to have 22 minutes or less loading time because they get a lot less mail.
Right.
So we shouldn't get punished for a station that has big amount of
mail.
And
this is why we want the special convention.
Exactly.
All right, dude. Take a breath. We're going to record another episode. Save some, you know, take some into the next episode. Guys, thank you for listening. Michael, thank you for your enthusiasm, your passion for the letter carriers. It's one of the most consistent bits of positive feedback that I get from having you on the show is that the amount that you care really comes through. And obviously we heard it in this episode. Also, this episode is an advertisement for pop filters over the microphone, because this is Michael's first time having a pop filter. And when you hear this back, Michael, you're here. It really made a difference. So that's all we got for today. Thanks for listening. Michael, thank you for coming on, and we will catch you all next time.
I forgot that we're doing another.